our new group starting. They'll be cutting CDs next week. Available for $15.99 or two for $40. You can pay me. I'm their agent. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It's wonderful to see young people growing up. And yesterday was Kristen's 15th birthday. Last week, Kara took the driver's test the first time and passed it. And then it snowed, and she gets to drive and all of this kind of good stuff. And just wonderful to see these young ladies grow up. One that might have not been familiar to some of you, Liddy Abel. The last time I saw Liddy, she was way down there. Now she's way up here and a beautiful young woman. So we're glad to have you all singing together. Well, take your Bibles and turn tonight back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 6, rather. We're in the midst of talking now about this subject of course, the entire part that's given to us here, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going up on a mountain, up on a little hill, really. He sits down as a figure of authority, and he teaches his disciples. Now, of course, there are those who are around him. The crowds are gathered around him. They can hear what he's saying to his disciples, but he's primarily teaching his disciples. And one specific section of this Sermon on the Mount that we're going to be concentrating on over the next couple of weeks is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 18. And this really is the subject of prayer and the subject of fasting. Remember, I told you last week that this is what I really call the kingdom agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really the kingdom agenda of Christ. He is explaining what Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are all about, are Jesus' teaching about what it means to live under His kingship, what it means to live as Jesus or under Jesus as Lord, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to live as a servant of the King? Because we get things down here on earth, sometimes we get them kind of turned on their ear, and Christ wants to turn them right side up the way it needs to really be. And so what this passage is all about is what I'm calling kingdom praying. Kingdom praying. How do you pray when you are a servant of the King? And really getting to this point of living that way. Living, understanding that He's Lord, right? We sing the song, He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But how do we actually live like that? How do we actually live under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, a lot of that has to do with our praying. And we said last week that in verses 5 through 8 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus shows us how not to pray. How not to pray. One, don't be like the pretenders. Remember who are the pretenders? The pretenders are the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious elite. Look what he says in verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Just write in your Bibles next to the word hypocrite, pretender, because that's what it means. Don't be like the pretenders. Why? Well, here's what a pretender does. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Don't be like the pretenders. What are the pretenders doing? They're merely pretending that they have a relationship to the King, but they don't really have a relationship to the King. If you want to pray as a member of the kingdom of Christ, if you want to pray being under the lordship of Christ, you can't be a pretender. You can't get all dressed up, make yourself all look good on the outside, while on the inside, there's absolutely nothing there. There's no inward relationship. We talked about this. I told you to see Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus denounces, really, the scribes and Pharisees as being whitewashed tombs. They paint up the outside of the tomb. They make it look pure white, but inside, we know what's inside that tomb, don't we? It's just dead man's bones. Remember Paul, as he's talking to Timothy in, is it 1 Timothy chapter 4, where he refers to those who have a form of godliness. but deny the power. You want to have a real prayer life? You know what it is to pray as part of the kingdom of Christ? You cannot be a pretender. And listen, we talked about that in our class this morning with the young people. So many people just pretending to know Christ. So many people pretending to know God. So many people acting like they have that relationship. But it's just all on the outside. I will never forget, I was in college and we would have some wonderful Bible preachers come. And one man, many of you will know his name is David Ring. He's a man who has cerebral palsy. And he would deliver some just absolutely wonderful messages. And one of those, he came in and he was standing there and he had his suit on, three-piece suit. He looked immaculate on the outside. And as he started preaching, he took off his jacket. And on the inside, his shirt was all dirtied and torn up. Then he'd take off a shoe and his sock was half missing, you know? And he just showed, his tie was all cut up and everything. He said, you know how many of us come to church looking good on the outside, but when you get inside, you see things are really messed up. You don't look the way on the inside that you do on the outside. That's what these scribes and Pharisees were doing. And I just want you to know that if you want to have any prayer, being a prayer, praying in the kingdom of God is not about looking all good on the outside and dressing yourself up and saying all these nice flowering words. So often we just speak and listen, our words don't get any further than the ceiling because inwardly there is no relationship with God. He said, listen, it's not about dressing up the outside. Don't be like the pretenders. If it has to be, he says, when you pray, verse 6, go into your room, shut the door, pray to what? Your what? Father. You see the note of relationship there? Pray to your Father in heaven. Can you pray that way? When you pray, can you pray, my, our Father, because I have a right relationship to Him. Have you been adopted by God through Jesus Christ? Do you have that kind of relationship with Him? So much so that you don't have, listen, you don't have to go up on a high mountain. You don't have to go up in a plane. You can simply go into your closet, into the darkest part, the most secret part of your home, the most secret part of your life, and you can pray to your Father. And guess what? Your Father, because He's your Father, He sees in secret. Those pretenders, they have their reward, don't they? They have their reward because everyone walks by and goes, oh, look how holy they are. Look how righteous they are. Look how godly they are. They pray to impress men. But when you pray, because you're rightly related to Him, listen, they pray to impress men. You pray because you're impressed by God. Prayer is not a performance. Prayer is a response to a relationship with God. Listen to that, hear it, write it down, think about it. Prayer is not about performance. It's a response to being rightly related to God. So listen, you want to be a prayer? Don't be a pretender. But there's a second way that he shows us not to pray. And that's in verse 7. And that's where we want to spend our time this evening. Look at verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. They think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them or ask Him. The first way not to pray is not to be a pretender. Second way to not pray is not to be like the pagans. Or in this, it says here, the Gentiles. After Jesus gives the contrast between the true disciple of Christ, the religious hypocrite, he moves on to say that neither are we to be like the heathens, the pagans, the Gentiles in our prayers. Well, now how do pagans pray? You ever think about that? How do pagans pray? How do heathens pray? Well, he tells us here. They says they heap up empty phrases. Empty phrases. Now, there's two things in common here between the pretenders and the pagans. It's emptiness. The Pharisees, the pretenders, the hypocrites, they're empty in their relationship with God. Here, these pagans, they're empty in their words. Well, these non-believers. There's some. Do you ever notice that non-religious people are some of the most religious people around? Nobody talks about God. You know, the people who don't talk about God until a crisis happens, somebody dies in their family, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're talking about God, and they just know that this person certainly has earned their wings or whatever. Always hear people talking about their so-called prayer life when many of them have no idea who God is. Their prayers filled with a lot of words, yet no heart to back it up. And I think of one Old Testament passage that I think really epitomizes what Jesus is saying here. 1 Kings 18. Remember what happened there? 1 Kings 18, you've got Elijah, the prophet, on Mount Carmel. Or Caramel. I don't know how you say it. On Mount Carmel. And there he is with the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal have prepared their sacrifice. And Elijah has prepared his sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal are crying out to Baal, trying to get him, who happens to be the god of the storm, by the way, to answer them, and to answer them by fire, to send fire from heaven down and consume the sacrifice. And they begin to pray. And they begin to chant. And they begin to get themselves going, even to the point of cutting themselves. Just empty phrases, empty words, trying to do a performance before God, trying to get God to act on their behalf. All meaningless babble. Well, Jesus says, if you want to pray, praying in the kingdom means avoiding meaningless babble, vain repetition. What is vain repetition? It's words without thought. Words without thinking. My kids get me this one all the time. They'll be saying something and I'm doing something else. I am not a multitasker at all. And so if they're talking to me and I'm happen to be doing something else, you know, checking the computer or doing something, they'll say, Daddy, what? You didn't hear what I just said, did you? To me, I didn't hear a word. It didn't even occur to me that they were speaking. God says that's how it is with you when you're just using these meaningless words, repeating words that have absolutely no meaning. Why? Again, because it has no relationship. There's no genuine relationship. How about this one? You ever hear this? Someone pray so we can eat. In our home, and somebody pray quick so we can eat. It's usually what we hear. You think about that. How sincere could that be, huh? These pagans, not only do they repeat vain repetition or are guilty of vain repetition, but they think they will be heard. You see that? They heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. The pagans often think that they will be heard by God by their many words. It's almost as if we're trying to trick God. We throw in a thee every once in a while. Some spiritual sounding lingo, right? Impressing God with our words. See, that's what the pagan does. The pagan thinks that he's impressing God with his words. But God's not impressed with words, is he? What's God impressed with? God's impressed with the heart. God doesn't hear many words. You don't have to use great spiritual sounding words in prayer. When you are under the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ, you don't have to pray using any certain words that sound more religious. God doesn't place a time limit on prayer. He doesn't place a word limit on prayer. Why? Why doesn't he do that? I love the reason that Jesus gives here. Because your Father knows. See, in Jesus' kingdom, in the kingdom agenda of Christ, he speaks of God in fatherly terms. You don't need to use many words. Why? Because your Father already knows. Think about this. If you know your children, you look at their, maybe you see them, their shoes are worn out or whatever it is. How senseless is it for your children to come and give this 50-page essay as to why they need new shoes when you're their father? Unless they already have 50 pairs of shoes, in which case, it's a moot point, girls. But let's just suppose that you need new shoes. How senseless is it to write a 50-page paper? Why? Doesn't your father know? Your father is close to you. I love, in just a little while, we're going to talk about, probably in a week or two, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." I love that. Why? Because he's our Father. That means he cares, but he's in heaven, which means he's in control. Isn't that wonderful to have a Father in heaven? One who cares, who's also in control. You don't need to use many words. Why? Because your Father knows. Now you need to understand something. The pagan deity is an abstract deity. He has to be appeased by actions. But the true God is the loving and just God who has already been appeased by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you pray, you earn absolutely no points with God. When you pray, you come before God who has been satisfied by the work of another. That's why he can be your Father in heaven. Worshiping God in prayer is knowing that he is the Almighty God, the Holy God, the pure God, the righteous God. Listen, he in a moment is able to consume you. But in prayer, we realize that he'll not do that because he loves us. You want to be a prayer? You want to pray? Well, don't be a pretender. Do you have a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Is he your Father or not? Don't be a pretender. Don't be like the pagans coming out there and just having this idea that you can somehow perform, that you can somehow impress God with your many words. You can't. If God's not impressed with the work of Jesus, you stand no hope whatsoever. It's got to be through Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus discusses the motivation for prayer here. The motivation for prayer is a right relationship to God through himself. So what he does is he lays the foundation for us. He lays the foundation for prayer as part of the kingdom of God. He lays the foundation of a prayer that rings out through heaven. Not like pretenders who desire to show off before men. Not like the pagans who somehow want to impress God. But listen, true prayer as part of the kingdom, when you live under the kingdom of God, is a sincere, heartfelt expression of utter dependence upon our Father in heaven. How not to pray? Not like a pretender. Not like a pagan. How do you pray? Like a child. Like a child. Like one who would come before their father and say, "You know, I love you. You love me. Here, God, here's my heart. Here's my hope." So let me just close very briefly tonight with this question. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the whole night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day is worth living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? When you live as a member of the kingdom of Christ, you're rightly related with him. And you know what? It's second nature to go before the Lord in prayer. Not as a pagan, not as a pretender, but as a child of the King. Can you say you're a child of the King tonight? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Oh, Lord, thank you that we can come before you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us that we might live forever. And as part of the kingdom, as men and women who are subjects of the King, as children before their Father, as worshipers before the Lord, we are related to you because of Christ. And Father, we thank you that we don't need to try to impress you, but rather as a result of being impressed by you, we don't need to try to perform for you. But our prayers can simply be a response to our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are any who are here who do not have a right relationship with you through Christ, I pray you might draw them to yourself through the Word of God. Lord, as we begin this year and have begun this year with prayer, I pray that you would continually motivate us by a right relationship with you. That we might know what it is to be a praying people. Know what it is to see you, our Father in heaven, who already knows our needs and is glad, is looking forward to answering our prayer. That we might know what it is to find you working in our midst for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.